So welcome everybody to Father's House. It's good to see you all on there. And so we're just here, just going to be sharing the second part. So if you haven't had the opportunity to listen to the first part, which was identity alignment, it's actually on the Facebook page, or you can go to the Freedom Fire Ministries website, or not Freedom Fire Ministries, Father's House. .co.uk, and in the audio page you'll see it. I think it was about 2-3 weeks ago we did the first one of your identity alignment and what it is that the scripture tells us about God and our lives and how it impacts us and how it calls us to be proactive and moving forward in our alignment, because once you know something you can't go back. It's logged in there. So you got to learn to process that, deal with it, and actually come out stronger and better and more able to actually run with what the Lord desires us to do in this season. So that last session, we dealt with, you know, what it was like to be a son and a daughter. And we talked about how good it is that if your mom and dad and your son or daughter can come back at any time and they can walk in, and hopefully, if you've got stuff in the fridge, they've got the right to go into your fridge and access a yogurt or a piece of cheese or whatever without you saying, hey, what do you think you're doing? That's because you're family. Whereas a carpenter who's brought into your house to do a repair, he's not got that privilege to walk, open your fridge and help himself. He's not family. So we looked at that whole aspect of what it's like to be a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. And also the fact that we are children and sons and daughters. We are royal heirs. We're a priesthood. And so there's a bestowment, a royal bestowment upon us that actually we got to change how we think about ourselves because of how God says we are. And so we're going to look more at this morning and take another in-depth look at it and look at some of the scriptures and really come away. But I want to give you a quote first of all, Francis Frangipane. Now this is a stir to get you going. He said, "Every area of your life that doesn't glisten with hope reveals that you're believing a lie, and that area of your life is a stronghold of the devil." Oh, I'll say that again. Every area of your life that doesn't glisten with hope reveals that you're believing a lie, and that area of your life is a stronghold of the devil. So we need to take that, and it's that Romans 12 and verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may prove that the will of God, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So we are in a process. Life is a process. It's a journey. And part of that is really becoming the identity beings that God has called us. The minute we said yes to Jesus Christ, our lives changed, never to be the same again. So understanding your identity in Christ Jesus is key to how you think about yourself and how you move in life and who you connect with, how you connect with people. And so this is key principles in the Bible that we need to learn and actually start to move in and move forward. We said earlier that you're royal sons and daughters. You know, being a son and a daughter is one thing, but it's an elevated position when you move in the royal family. You know, so that's what the Bible is telling us, that he calls us a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You know, so there's a stamp put upon us by God, not necessarily by the world, because they don't look on us as any different, but inside, you need to know that you have been approved by God, that he looks down and he smiles on you, and because you are his son and daughter, part of his royal priesthood. And so in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says there that scripture that you are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation. So you want to make note of some of these scriptures as we go through this morning. They'll be key to looking back at this at a later date. I'm giving you like the outline, but always a light, an outline is with the sole purpose that you begin to delve into this and look at it for yourself, not just taking my word, but look at the scriptures and actually seeing what the Bible is truly saying to us as the people of God. So we're royalty, we're princesses and princes, you know, so you have an elevated position given to you by God the minute you said yes to following Jesus Christ. And so therefore that comes with a lot of, like in the royal family, if you're given a title, like if you're given the title like of the Prince of Wales, well, that comes with certain parameters and guidelines that help you understand, well, if I'm the Prince of Wales, that means that Wales, I have a dominion and a say over Wales, and I can actually affect how Wales operates. And that's the same in the kingdom when God places us from not just being a child, but actually elevates us into the role of a kingdom supervisor, ambassador, then everything changes. And because it changes, we need to think differently. We need to think differently about who we are and why we're here. So, you know, that whole thing about being a priest, you're the go-between and a mediator between God and man. You know, so that is a role. A priest comes with garments, so you recognize that they are a priest. A police officer has a uniform, and you recognize his authority because of the uniform he wears. And so what is placed upon us, and that shalom, the peace that the Lord gives to us, we get to give away to others because it's what we carry, and God says, go give it away. You know, so our priestly duties include what? What do you think our priestly duties would include? Duties of a priest was to stand before the Lord, sometimes night and day, to minister unto him. And so we're called to that same realm, that same involvement with God, that we become his priests, we become his hands, his feet on the ground here where we live. So it's a blessing. And if once you understand who you are in God, you realize, wow, I'm just not little old me. I'm just not a sinner saved by grace. I am a dynamic powerhouse in the hands of God. And if I learn to hear from him and see what he's up to, then I get to move with God, with Jesus, in this town, in this arena where you live, and you get to do what I say is exploits for the King of Kings. Amen? So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though we're making his appeal through us. So an ambassador is someone like the UK government would send an ambassador to be in a house in Belize. But as he goes as a embodiment and a representation of the English government. He goes to that nation to represent the United Kingdom in the country of Belize. So Christ is calling us to be an ambassador for him. We're appointed and approved by him to go. And so we want to be walking in that authority. You know, so when they go to a nation, he said they represent the will of that nation that sent them. And when you go to a kingdom, you represent the will of the king that sent you. So it's like, you know, some of them would have had in the old days would have had a special ring that's like a signet ring that signified that they were in that kingdom and had an operation for the king to administer what he wanted them to do within that nation. And so Christ is giving us keys to actually help us to operate as an ambassador of Christ. And so when you look at Matthew 18 and verse 18, this gives us a little clue here. And so it says there in the scripture, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. So there is the authority given to us as children, as royalty within the kingdom of God, that we have the power bestowed on us by Jesus and by God, that when we speak words that bind things up here on earth, and two or three or more agree on one thing and we ask the Father, it gets done. You carry that authority. This is not just for a chosen few, because all are chosen. The difference is few choose to be chosen. And that's where the dividing line comes. We're all chosen by God, but some of us choose not to walk in that governmental authority that God has given us to use. And so we want to learn from that today and learn how it is to step into that. And then you're going to sit back someday and say, wow, I prayed that. I spoke that out. And look, it's happened. And maybe it's even been on the national news because you spoke something out, you prayed into a situation, and it shifted and changed. That is down to you because of the authority given to you by the Lord God Almighty. You change things. You've got keys that can lock doors up or unlock doors, and you can speak and declare them out. I want to take a little look at this part of it, and I think this is key to how you move forward and how you look at yourself. Do you know that you're a saint, not a sinner? Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Mm-hmm. Romans 1 and verse 7. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. To the saints in Ephesus. So when you've had an encounter and you've been blood bought through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're different. You're told that you're a new creation. All things in the old have passed away. Now, sin is still there, and sin still tries to have a sway. And if we are not strong in the Lord, then there's a chance that we can go drop back into old ways, and that opens a door for sin to be attached to you again. But it's easy dealt with, because when you realize that you have made a mistake, you come back to the Father and say, look, hey, I've done this, I'm sorry. And he, in his love and mercy, just washes it all away again. It's not a permission to keep doing that, but you know that your Father loves you enough to actually take that sin away again and break that link. Because sin is a doorway that of entrapment that captures your life and holds you as a slave. The freedom that Christ has given us is to walk us out of that, to wash us white as snow, and to give us a new, fresh start, clean and pure. You know, you never hear Paul referring to the church in Ephesus and saying, to the sinners in Ephesus. No, he actually uses, like he's written in the scripture, to the saints at Ephesus. There was a line drawn in your life the minute you said yes to what Jesus Christ had accomplished for you, that free gift that he gives. That transition happened the minute you said yes. You stepped from the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom of light, and he washed you clean. He washed you white as snow. So the only way you can class yourself as a sinner is if you think that the work at the cross was not totally finished, and you believe that you can go back in and sin, and that's not an option for us now. Because when you've been given freedom, the last thing you want to do is go back into something that slows you down. You know, if you've got a computer that you've sent into the repair shop because it's running so slow, and the guy does an amazing job, when you get the computer back, it's like ding, 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 everything's running perfect. The last thing you want to do is add stuff back into that computer that has a virus attached to it that will cause it to go back to its old running slow. So it's wisdom not to go back. And when you've been given freedom, take it, grasp it by both hands, and run with it. You know, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. So we have that new nature of Christ within us. It's been blood bought. It's paid a heavy price for us to be free. So we do not want to go back to the old ways, but we want to walk in the new, knowing that the power of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us helps us do that. and walk in our freedom. And in 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, it speaks there about the new nature that we have in Christ. So we've got to look at this, you know, so you got to see that you're not a sinner. You're a sinner saved by grace, but that was a finished work at the cross. Your responsibility is to stay clean. There is lures and there is deceptions out there, which we all have to face. But Jesus said that nothing, no temptation common to man, he has overcome it. So that was the proof to us that if he can do it and his blood paid the price, then we've got that that ability to walk out the other side of that without getting snared again back into sin. So Jesus is the answer. Your heart, keeping it right before the Father, will keep you on a straight path. But also, it's not just about keeping on the path. You shift your mentality of thinking from being someone as weak and insecure into a son, a daughter, a prince or a princess who carries royal robes, assigned duties by the king, and you begin to think differently as one who is anointed, one who is appointed by God, and one who walks in the favor and the blessings of the king. You know, so Acts chapter 11, you know, and verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So Christian, what is a Christian? The Greek word for krio means anoint. So krio means anoint in the Greek. And Christ means Christos in Greek. So that means anointed one. So Jesus Christ was the anointed one. But the word Christians that we use so well, Christians in Greek is the plural from of Christos and means anointed ones, not little Christ. So we are anointed ones, but not little Christ. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord, the sovereign Lord, is upon me because he has anointed me. The same with Luke 4:18, just reiterates that again in the New Testament. And as Christians, then we are also anointed like Jesus was through the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10:38, you know, is a scripture for that that'll prove that, or not have to, doesn't have to prove it, but it's there. So we are co-laborers with Christ. It's not that he hasn't abandoned us and gone off to be with his Father and seated at the right-hand side of the throne, but he has empowered us. He's still here within us and wants to operate through us, because we're here to be world changers and to impact the community around us. And so in John 20 and verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So with the ambassadorship, there is a goal and a sending that Jesus asks us to do, and that's go teach, train, and equip and make disciples of all nations, winning the lost. We hear a lot about the billion soul harvest, and you know, my goodness, when that all begins to flood in, we are going to be running off our feet, you know, discipling people, and they're going to get so fired up, buzzing about what's just changed in their life. They're going to want to go out and tell their friends, tell their neighbors about this Jesus that they've just found. So it's going to be an amazing time when we get to walk that out. And why was Jesus sent? In 1 John 3 and verse 8, Jesus was sent. And you know, he was the Son of God appeared, was, you know, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the enemy. As Christians, our goal is to destroy the works of the enemy. Now, when someone's sick, we will pray for them for healing. When somebody's dead and we get asked to, we'll pray for them to be resurrected. Why? Because the Bible clearly tells us that we have been given all authority and we are to cast out demons, raise the dead, heal the sick. You know, so we have been given the divine authority as the ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ to operate on his behalf as an ambassador. So we get to go into nations and represent him well. We get to go into our town and represent him well, because you have authority, remember, to bind and to loose. So up here, you've got to realize that I have all authority. It has been given to me because I am in Christ. Christ is in me. Christ is in God, and I am in God as well. There is a holy connection that's gone on, and that gives us authority and the rights to enact and to act on behalf of the King. Amen. So we are to do what Jesus did and fulfill the scriptures in Isaiah 61 and in Luke 4, 18. In Genesis 1, 26, we were given the mandate to rule over all creation and go forth and multiply. That has never ceased. God has never decided that that's enough. We need to hold back here and not go any further, because he's still intentional, is saying that as the waters cover the sea, so will be his kingdom. And it'll be known, because this fame and that will travel all over the world. And how is that going to happen? Well, by the messengers appointed by the Father to go and tell others about Jesus Christ and his goodness. So John 20 and verse 22, Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In the Greek, that means he creoed them. Creo is that Greek word which means breathe. So when he had the disciples together in John, he actually said to them, "I breathe on you the Holy Spirit," and they received that infilling of the Holy Spirit. So we've got that right to impart that to others as well. Now, in this ministry divinely sent ambassadors acting on the King, I'm going to throw a little twist in here to you. If you can bind all things on earth or loose all things on earth and in heaven as well, John 20 and verse 23, is a scripture that says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. Now, just don't take my word for this. It's in black and white in the Bible. So I'm saying, go check it out. Go read it. But Jesus is clearly telling you that if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. Now, so if you've got the ability to forgive someone's sins, what does that mean to you? Authority has been given to you. Now, in the natural, you might want to think, well, I can't forgive them. They did this to me. They did this to my daughter. How dare they? I want justice and I want it now. And yet the Lord's saying, if you forgive them, it will not be held against them when they get before the King in judgment. Now, there's a thought. That really helps you realize whether your heart is truly won over by the Lord or whether you still want to hold on to stuff. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And sometimes we need to learn that by releasing that person in forgiveness actually allows God to actually step in and take over his process in their life to actually bring them out of the place where they are, to make them better, to look on life differently than they are walking out, because it's not in alignment with his will. So by releasing them and, you know, giving forgiveness to them, we actually free God up and free them up to be healed up, restored, and refreshed and renewed. But it also releases you from that unforgiving heart, because someone said unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping that the other person dies from it. There's only one person that'll get affected by drinking that way, and that's you. So you don't want that. Yes, I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying the pain of walking out, and you will always have the memory of it there. But you can get to the point where you can walk out forgiveness as a son or a daughter, because you want to be able to walk before the King in all authority, all power. So that means his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than than our thoughts. Mm. So he has a plan. He has a purpose. He has an identity for you, but it requires effort on our part to actually step into that, to change how we think about ourselves. Remember the last part one when we spoke? You know, we don't want to be those that see ourselves as grasshoppers. We want to be the ones, the anointed ones, the appointed ones, the ones on fire that carry Jesus and are saying there is nothing that is impossible for our God. You know, when man says that this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so we want to be of that mindset that frees us up to be the warriors, the divinely appointed ambassadors of Christ that just don't walk in and speak to people, but we carry the authority and the backing of heaven. We carry that signet ring of the kingdom that gives us the royal authority to actually make a decree and to see it come to pass. That's why when we lay hands on the sick and you actually call that sickness to shrivel and leave their body or to go in Jesus' name, you are taking the authority given to you as a son or daughter, and you're exercising that authority. We just need to do it. Now, so what if it doesn't happen the first time you try it? You only get a muscle strong by exercising it, and that's repetition. So you may miss the mark the first time, but don't give up. You go again. You say, okay, God, I don't feel that went well in that particular occasion, but I'm going to keep pressing in because I know that your word declares that I'm different from this and I have an authority on me to change this circumstance. Because it doesn't say lay hands on the sick and they, you know, it says they will get well. It's not that they might get well. Jesus clearly states that the authority we carry, they will get well. So we got to be expectant that when we pray for sick people, they will get healed. Yes, we don't see it all the time, but every time we do it, every accomplishment that we see that we can testify, we know Jesus healed this person, is a testimony of Jesus that releases that it can happen again. Because when Jesus has accomplished something, then it gives us hope that he can do it again. If he's done it once, he can do it again. So it stirs up faith in you to believe for greater things. So you want to be a fire carrier. You want to be a revivalist in your area. You want to carry that authority that the Lord has given you. You know, part of that is, well, getting up, getting out, and getting on with it, and believing what it is that God wants you to do. We want to represent him and represent him well. You know, so I'm going to read in Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read this scripture over you this morning as a declaration. So you can close your eyes or whatever, but this is from the Father. So chapter 1 in Ephesians and verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. So I bless you with that this morning, that there is more to you than what you've maybe realized. And like it says in verse 17, that you get the revelation and the knowledge of him. This is all about the revelation and the knowledge of him. If you understand his ways and know who you are, then you have achieved identity, your identity, which has always been yours, but it's like your eyes get opened up to new revelation of who you really are as the royalty and the priesthood that stands before the Lord, that you get to minister and administer his ways, his purposes right here, right now. And so I want to bless you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit, just come right now, Father. Come and move over all who are watching right now, whether live this morning or whether at a later date, there is no difference when the Holy Spirit moves. So right now, I want to breathe on you and you receive the Holy Spirit. Just increase your presence, Lord. Increase your power. More, Lord. Just open our eyes and our ears, Lord, to see who we really are. That who you have blessed us to be. That you back us with everything of heaven to accomplish so that none would be lost. That all would come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the lover of our souls. So just increase your presence, Holy Spirit. Release the fire over you right now. In Jesus' name.
Just have a word for someone who's watching the live stream this morning. I just had this. I saw you wrapped in fear at the thought of coming out of lockdown, that you had been so careful all this time to walk in obedience with the laws. And I just saw that this fear was wrapping around you at the thought of coming out again, coming out and being among public and people getting close to you. And I just feel like the Lord says to you that this is the right time. And I just declare over you today, just a breaking off of that fear. And the Lord says that we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yeah. And I just pray over you this morning that as the enemy would try to come and bring fear against your mind and your heart this morning, that we just release that off you. We just break the power of that off your heart and off your soul, off your mind this morning. And that you would know the peace of God in these days as you begin to step out into freedom again, that this is a season of freedom for you. It's not a season of fear, but a season of freedom. And we just release that expectancy of joy, expectancy of meeting up with friends again, the joy of being with family again over you in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. I think just as a physical sign, that we are moving out into a new era, a new season in the world, not just in the church, but the whole world has been affected by this. But as a sign that you're accepting the movement, then sometimes you've got to move to actually step into what it is that God is leading us into this next season. So I'm inviting you to stand and to actually do something now as a declarative sign that you're in agreement with moving forward with God. So that's, if you want to do that, I'm standing up. If you want to stand up and do something, shake yourself, move, do something different, that you don't intend to stay the same, because you can't. As far as the Lord is concerned, he designed you to be changed, renewed, and re-envisioned. And so you're going to be blessed by the Father. Why? Because he can't help himself. It's who he is. His heart's desire is to bless you, because in blessing you, you get to give it away and to bless others. And so this whole renewal, this whole season shift, we are coming out of one of the biggest shifts, changes that the Church of Jesus Christ has ever encountered since he rose from the dead back in Jerusalem. And so there's been a huge transition. And so our heart is to the Lord saying, Lord, what is it? Where are we at? What are we going to do in this next season? Well, we already know what we're called to do. We just need to do it. We need to change our thinking, renew it, and get empowered for the bigger, because God is the God of increase, and his kingdom was designed with increase in it. And so he wants that relationship back with his children that he had in the Garden of Eden. And so it's a love relationship of the Father with his children. And so we get blessed, you get blessed, and we will see things change and shift in this next season. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.